What a privilege to gather and to worship and to glorify the name of the Lord. Today we have a special service that we're going to share, and that is a service of remembrance for the persecuted people of God. Now, the international literature for this day speaks about the service to pray for and to remember the persecuted church. I changed that because I felt strongly moved by the Lord that with all that's happening in the Middle East, we have to be concerned about more than just the persecuted church. It is the entire people of Almighty God who are undergoing persecution, harassment, and even execution and death itself. I was thinking for a couple days about the matter of being a family. And one of the ways that the Bible describes the church is to speak of the church as the family of God, the family of God. And one of the privileges of a family is to gather together and share a meal, to share a meal in fellowship and in thanksgiving. And of course, November being the month of Thanksgiving, this is an excellent time for us to think about a family gathering together to celebrate family, to celebrate the Lord, to celebrate the love of God. And so in our communion service this morning, while you are waiting to receive the sacrament, this would be a marvelous time for you to think about what it means to be part of the family of Almighty God. Joyce referenced a few moments ago, beautifully said, about the message a few weeks ago about coming into the innermost sanctuary of the Lord, into his chambers, into the most intimate place where one could gather. This is part of that time. As we come to the table of the Lord, we come as a family into the most intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus that we can have this side of eternity. As he so graciously provides this meal, the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, it comes to us under the forms of bread and wine. But the Bible is very clear. When we participate in this feast, we are sharing the body and the blood of the Lord. And what a festive meal for the family to share together this can be. Let us pray. Holy Father, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts. We don't just break into your presence and consume these gifts of bread and wine, body and blood of the Lord Jesus. We come thoughtfully, we come humbly, we come gratefully acknowledging your Lordship, the feast of the Lord Jesus who gave his life for each of us, for me, for you. And we're so grateful, Father. And as we are going through these extraordinarily challenging days, may we take great courage and strength from participating in the gift of the supper of the Lord. May you use it, Holy Spirit, to truly enter into our spirit, our souls, even our physical being, and strengthen us for your service. Give us courage for these days and make us ever grateful to be a part of your family. We ask this in Jesus' name. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took into his hands some bread. When he had given thanks, he broke this bread, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you for the forgiveness of your sins." After the same manner, when he had eaten, he took into his hands a cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this cup, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, and it is poured out for you and for all mankind for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray together the prayer that the Lord taught his church to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Before our final prayer of thanksgiving here, I want to share a thought with you. Thinking about the family and the feast, and gathering around the family table, whenever we share each month the Feast of the Lord, I'm always aware of those of the family who are not able to be here and to use part of this time to pray for those who, for one reason or another, are not able to be with us. This week, I'll be taking communion to Ken Bailiu. But if there are others that you know of who would appreciate to have the sacrament given to them in their residence, we're very, very, very blessed to do that. So you might give some thought to that, and maybe the Lord will use these precious gifts to strengthen and bless them as well. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that this family can come together at least once each month around the table of the Lord and celebrate this great feast. Lord Jesus, you said that you will not celebrate the feast again until you celebrate it anew in the kingdom of God. We look forward to that time. But meanwhile, we are so grateful that you bring to us the blessing, the power of this sacrament while we are here yet upon the earth, involved in the struggles for the faith and to serve you with honor and dignity. We thank you, O God, for this wonderful blessing today, and may you use it to strengthen and bless each one here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All right, I don't want to scare you as I bring up all my stuff here that we're going to be here for a long time for this. When Pastor Ward called me and asked me to call him back because I missed his message, I was on my way out here to church, and before I called him back, I'm like, oh, what is he going to ask me? I just had that feeling, and the Lord told me, you know, I want you to just remember this Bible that you've got. And so when Pastor Ward, when I called him and he told me exactly what he just said here, it was like, oh yeah, that's not a problem. I can do that. Thinking in the back of my mind of all the things I was planning on doing this weekend and everything. But the Lord already had everything organized. And he told me exactly what he wanted me to speak about before Pastor Ward even talked to me. So that was pretty amazing. And then yesterday morning, when we woke up and we turned on the TV, Bob turned on the TV and it was on Fox News, and there happened to be a gentleman speaking on there about the persecuted Christians. And his organization is International Christian Concern. And his name is Jeff King. He's the president of it. And he was talking about how his organization puts out a report every year, and it's called the Persecutors of the Year Award. Isn't that an interesting title? They published it on November 1st, and he listed off 10 countries, 6 entities or groups, and at least 5 individuals that won the award as Persecutors of the Year. And then in the report, they also give a little information about each one of those. And so I'm going to talk to the elders when we have our meeting about something that we can do with this to keep the idea or to keep the thought of our persecuted Christians in the front of our mind. So as I was thinking about preparing for this, I've got lots because I didn't know exactly how much time I would have to speak. But basically, what I want to do today, what I'd like to get to, is just basically different ways that we can pray for our persecuted Christian family. And there are lots of ways. I could have listed a long, long list of how to, who we can pray for, but I wanted to keep the list short, so I like the number 7, so I kept it to the number 7. And as I read some of these off, I would also like to read a couple little vignettes. So this Bible I've got is called the 1-Year Bible, so it has all 365 days in it, and it's Pray for the Persecuted Bible. And so in this Bible, there are little vignettes at the beginning of every day's reading that talks about the persecuted Christian. And so it's an opportunity to pray. So every single day, as I read my scripture, I also read this little vignette, and then there's a prayer that's attached to it. So if there's anyone that's interested in this Bible, I would be more than willing to get you one for next year. It's been very eye-opening in many regards, and there's some of these stories in here that I end up pondering the whole entire day because it's just the things that some of these Christian members of our family go through that we just don't think of on a normal day. And as I go through my normal day, I'm thinking, oh, this is what I get to do today. You know, what did these people get to do today? They live in fear. They live in persecution. They live in oppression and different things like that. Okay, so here's my list of 7 that I wrote down. The first one is pray for frontline workers advancing the kingdom at any cost. And the little writing, I'm not going to do one for each of these because that would take way too long, but I have a reading I would like to do for this category. And it comes from October 11th, and it says, a tree whose deep roots enable it to withstand heat and drought is an apt depiction of those who serve on the front lines. Their homes may be attacked and destroyed, their lives upended as they become refugees. Yet they continue producing fruit for God because their faith doesn't depend on their circumstances. They are rooted in Christ. Lord, pour out your joy on my persecuted Christian family when they are driven from their homes for their witness. Provide for their physical needs through the global body of Christ, and may they continue to take refuge in you. So we pray for the frontline workers, those that are there and see this oppression and everything every single day and live through it. My second category that we need to pray for are those who are in prison. We need to pray for our persecuted Christians that are put in prison. Many of our persecuted family, when they are put in prison, is not just being locked behind the bars. They are beaten. They are tortured. A lot of times they are asked to confess against Christianity or against Jesus, and they choose not to, which can lead to more beatings and everything. Next is pray for the persecutors, those who are persecuting them. And I have a reading which comes from March 4th on this. It says, Shani awoke to pounding on her door. The authorities had come to her like they'd come for her husband months before. She asked God to spare her, but instead God emboldened Shani to share the gospel with the officer interrogating her. After 3 days of intense intimidation, the official made an offer. He would release Shani and her husband if they would secretly disciple him. Shani's testimony had convinced him to give his life to Jesus. Awesome. Praise God. So, Lord, please fill my persecuted Christian family in the Middle East with peace and courage to speak to their accusers and their interrogators as Shani did. Amen. All right, another one. We can pray for the secret church. We know that we are so blessed by being able to, you know, come to church, to worship together, to stand up and give our testimonies. But in many countries, that's not allowed. And so I love this. I love this reading. This reading really hit me, and I carried this with me for quite a while. This comes from October 2nd. It says, house churches in China continue resisting the communist government's attempts to bring all churches under its authority. Many churches are meeting in smaller groups, says the Christian leader. One pastor told the police, you have a choice. You can send one policeman to watch this meeting place, or you will send 20 policemen to watch us meeting in 20 different locations. Lord, my persecuted brothers and sisters in China, prove their words in Isaiah, the earth is your footstool and all heaven and earth are yours. You don't need grand temples to meet with your people. Humble homes will do. Mm-hmm. I love that. What boldness of that Christian to tell that to the policeman. And you know, everyone's going to worship them in their homes if they do not get to worship together. Okay, my fifth area, pray for Christians under communist oppression and Islamic extremism. We all know what that is. We all can see that. That's something that we hear about all the time. In communist China, in all of these Islamic, religious, countries, and, of some of these leaders that really oppress the people of Christ. My sixth area. Pray for new Christians and Bibles. We need to pray for those who are coming to faith because they are so young in the faith that it would be easy for them to turn. And they are asked, as I said before, they've been asked many times to reject their faith, and pray for those young Christians that they would be discipled and that they would be able to hold on to that faith. And of course, new Bibles, which is obviously needed in order to help with that. So this reading comes from September 7th. Paul reminded the Corinthian believers of the purpose of their generous giving, to glorify God. When the global body of Christ supports our persecuted Christian family, that help is received with gratitude and praise. Brother Ibrahim of Nigeria, who received help for his family, marveled at this. The larger body of Christ cares about me. Wow, I'm extremely glad. I just find joy being part of a family of Christians. Lord, thank you for the privilege of praying and helping provide for the persecuted brothers and sisters. I lift them up and stand ready to help. Then my last area, or one of my seventh area that I've chose to talk about is praying for our Christians that are driven from their homes and families. When they have found out that they have turned their life over to Christ, many of these individuals are evicted from their homes, if not by the authorities, then sometimes by their families. And a lot of times they lose their family connections. And so that is definitely an area we need to pray for. All right, the eighth category, the eighth area, is to pray for the littlest Christians around the world. That they are there, they are living in oppression, they're living in situations that are so hard, Lord. But we pray that they keep their faith and that they share it. And there's nothing better than seeing the innocence of a child sharing their faith and how it can bring so many others to know the Lord. So at this time, we're going to take some time to pray together. We will do it just like we do for the prayers of the people. Feel free to pray out whatever you would like during this time. I will lead us, and then I will close our time of prayer. So Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we give praise to you. We thank you so much for the privilege of being in a country where we can still openly worship you and to honor you and to speak of you to those that are around us, Lord. There are so many others that are not able to do that. Lord, we ask right now that you would hear our prayers for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray for your presence to be with them when they are under this persecution. As you said in Psalm 139, 7 through 10, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Lord, we declare your presence over each of these persecuted family members of yours. We sprinkle them with the blood of Jesus. We sprinkle them with that blood that gives life, that cleanses their soul with salvation, and that nourishes them with the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that you are going forth and that you are doing this, that as Pastor Ward said, the Psalm 91 angels have been deployed to them and is watching over them. And we give praise, honor, and glory to you for the work that they're doing, for the changed lives that are happening in these areas, be it the oppressed people or those that are oppressing them. We give honor and glory to you. Praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the precious Holy Spirit be with you all. And the people said,
Amen. Amen.